We've talked about the history of y'all on this show and Southern accents in our speech, but can you fake a Southern accent when you're singing? Actors at the theatrical outfit in Atlanta need to sound authentically Southern even when they're singing. The Light in the Piazza takes place in the 1950s, and it follows a wealthy Southern woman and her daughter on a trip, a holiday, really, to Italy. Clifton Gutterman is the Associate Artistic Director at theatrical Outfit. He joins me now. Good morning, Clifton.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Also with us is Elisa Carlson. She's a dialect coach and teaches theater at the University of North Georgia, and she's helped out with this production. Elisa, welcome. Okay. First, you know, I read this really interesting thing, Clifton, in Forbes. They gave a review of a recent production, and, and this is what he said. I want to quote it. He says, "The Light in the Piazza never spawned busloads of touring companies. It boasts no knee-slapping comedy or rousing choreography. There's not even a single rapt lyric." So what is the appeal of this particular show?
Well, I think the appeal is story and character as opposed to spectacle. I think probably what that review is referencing is that so much musical theater today, especially touring shows, tends toward the commercial, and that's razzle-dazzle and big production numbers and huge scenic shifts and technical special effects or gymnastics or circ sort of tricks. And The Light in the Piazza is really not any of those things. It's about story and character first, and beautiful music and storytelling and love. And even on Broadway, it had moving sets, and it had and it was nominated and won Tonys for design. But it's about character first. And I think that's probably what that reviewer was referencing.
And it's also different musically than the average number of musicals.
It
For
is.
One thing, it has a full orchestra. Why is that rare?
Well, it can be produced with a chamber orchestra, which is what we're doing at Theatrical Outfit. But I think what's rare about it in musical theater terms and contemporary musical theater terms is it's sort of a hybrid, and it's almost like light opera. And it is very difficult to sing and act at the same time. And some of it is sung in Italian. We have Italian characters who are in Italy and Florence and Rome, and we have American characters. And some of the characters actually have full songs in Italian and dialogue as well. And it borders on the operatic. And I think for some musical theater actors, it's just not in their wheelhouse. And for musical theater, for producers of musical theater in around the country, it's often hard to find the right talent who can act and sing and also perhaps appear Italian or speak in Italian.
Yeah.
So it's a very challenging show to produce, not because it costs a ton of money for sets and special effects, but because the talent has to be able to bring this to life authentically.
And the other part of that is where you come in, Elisa, and it's often written that one of the reasons this show has not done more is because of the need for Southern accents. And if you
right.
want to know how bad Southern accents can be, you just have to go back to the original movie with Olivia de Havilland, who many people know from Gone with the Wind, but her Southern accent is mm-hmm. no better in that movie than it was in Gone with the Wind.
Right.
How different is the challenge of singing in a Southern accent as opposed to speaking in a Southern accent?
Well, it's a great question. And really, I believe what's happening is that it's about placement. So you know that as a Southerner, I might place my voice way down here. Right?
Yeah, way but back in the back of your throat.
Heck yeah. How am I going to sing that? Right.
Where you're trying to move the sound forward in your mouth.
Exactly. So you have to look at different options. Beyond consulting on this piece, I worked on an opera of The Grapes of Wrath that you may be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, you know, way up in here, we can't sing that.
She's pointing to her cheekbones.
Yes. Or we're Arlo Guthrie.
You
know, we're Woody Guthrie. That's not the style. So you look at where can you anchor the singing in terms of the Southern. For one thing, you have to establish it really well in the speaking. We have like five lines in Light in the Piazza first before people begin singing. So that has to be really strong and presented really well in that Piedmont dialect so that the audience is going...
Wait, hold on. Piedmont dialect?
Piedmont in North Carolina near Winston-Salem. That's what we call it. Yeah, I'm not doing it perfectly. I probably sound more like my grandmother from Macon, but there are similarities. It's very old-fashioned, 40s, 50s.
This is placed in the 1950s.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a softer R, something we only hear among our really older residents now in Georgia and North Carolina.
Let's hear a little bit. This is a little excerpt from the song Hysteria, and this is the original Broadway cast. In this scene, Clara, who is the young daughter, slightly mentally challenged daughter, sneaks out to meet her young Italian lover, Fabrizio. So here's one of the issues I would imagine becomes a problem in singing in Southern.
Yes.
Because you don't have a lot of control over the things that delineate an accent. And by that, I mean you have no control over the pace.
Right.
You don't always have a control over where the emphasis goes, because that's written into the music.
Yes.
So how do you overcome that?
There's a couple of things you can do. One is that we heard in that very first piece that you played, the first clip, where she said falla instead of follow, right? So that's a really easy vowel to open up into, and that's beautiful. The little example I brought today is that beautiful song, Dividing Day, mm-hmm. That Christy Baggett sings, who is extraordinary, who plays Margaret. And at one point, she calls it a dividing day. And being able to shift consonants is actually a lot easier than vowel sounds. You know, as a singer yourself, you know that maybe singing a pure vowel is a little bit easier than a triphthong or a quadrathong.
It generally sounds better.
Yes, it does. It does. In this show, the pure vowel sound that they can go to is the ah, that sort of North Carolina, South Carolina, nice white rice ah sound. And that is able to be elongated. So you'll hear that. You'll hear the softer R's, which are actually easier to sing than over, under is really easy to open up into for a singer. So I noticed that Christy and also our musical director, Allie, have made that choice. They make the choices that are singable, and then you anchor the piece in the speaking, which is different from doing, say, a Grapes of Wrath opera where no one speaks ever.
Right.
Right.
Some operas have some spoken dialogue, but it's usually pretty minimal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then it's a little bit trickier, and the audience has to be familiar with opera and make that leap with you.
Clifton, how important is it that the accents be authentic?
Oh, I think it's very important, especially when we have a theater that's here in the South, and we have a writer who is from the South, and we are presenting a story about the South, and we have people who would pick up on it quite easily sitting in the audience if it's way off and wrong, and sort of have relatives, like Elisa was saying, especially older generations, who would think, now they're just faking that. That doesn't sound real at all. So I think, and I think what's so wonderful about Light in the Piazza is it's all about dichotomies in so many ways throughout this musical, and juxtaposing the Italians with the Americans, and not just Americans, but Southern Americans in the 50s who were traveling to Italy and getting away on vacation. It just helps set up the difference. And we really need to hear who's who belongs to what family, whose daughter is who, you know, all of that. So it's crucial.
Although it's kind of ironic, because when you do go overseas, if you ask a European, especially, to give you an American accent, they usually go into a really bad Southern accent.
Exactly.
It's the accent they most people associate.
Right, Texas. Or, right, exactly.
Right. With. There was a study in 2010 that I found fascinating, because a constant question is, why do people lose their accents when they sing? Right? Why does a Adele, who has a very heavy Cockney accent, if we've heard her speak, then start singing and she sounds kind of generic American? So a researcher actually studied singers who had accents in their spoken language, and he found that singers aren't really aware of what they sound like in terms of accent when they're singing.
No, an accent is something that happens to you. You don't happen to it. In other words, when you grow up, it's just like your posture. You don't think about it. It happens to you. It's not a choice that you make. And like choices you don't make, they usually come along with tensions. Like if I'm talking like this, there's a lot of tension in my throat right now. Now, that's fine. I don't have to do 8 shows a week as a singer. I can go through my whole life with that tension, or frying it a little bit in the back like I'm doing, or even down here, sort of placing it real low, or, you know, just a regular Southern dialect like I grew up with that just went real fast and it was like this. Those are tensions that happen, and we should celebrate them. They're lovely. They're choices that we didn't make that made us. But when you go to sing, as you know, tension is your enemy.
Yeah.
You've got to let it go and open up. Let it go. I didn't mean to do that. But you do,
you know. And that song stuck in people's
heads. I know. Mm-hmm. I apologize ahead of time. But once you do let go, what we do find is among English speakers a sort of uniformity, this openness that happens. And a very open O, is easier to make than O or O. Right? Or all these other ways of making it. So that, I'm not a researcher, but that's just my experience. That's what I found.
What people. Let's hear some more music, since we're talking about music. In this particular scene in the musical, and we're talking about the musical Light in the Piazza, we're speaking with Clifton Gutterman of the Theatrical Outfit in Atlanta, and Alisa Carlson is a dialect coach and teaches theater at the University of North Georgia. So in this particular scene, Clara, the young daughter, is talking about how much she loves her Fabrizio, and she's speaking to her mother.
All I see is, all I want is tearing from inside. I see it, now I see it. Everywhere, it's everything and everywhere. So
another thing that strikes me, Alisa, is that oftentimes Southern accents especially are quite nasal.
Yeah, they can be, especially if it's a dusty climate or a very cold climate. That's when we stop breathing and we sort of nasalize stuff.
And like you hear it a lot of times in country music.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to assume, Clifton, you did not want singers to sing in a nasal sound.
No, it still needs to be heard, and it still needs to be understood.
Yeah.
Right, and it is a love story, and it's beautiful, and it's like I said, sort of this hybrid with opera. So it's kind of a happy balance. But and they're also upper class, Margaret and Clara, and the patriarch of the family is Roy, and he's a cigarette executive in Winston-Salem in the 50s. And so they come from money, and she's educated. Clara, and Margaret is a mother and a housewife and a society woman. And so there was that aspect to it as well, to sort of make them more an established sound. And
right. And Clara, being a younger generation, has a little bit softer dialect than mom, you know, as we go along.
So you trained the mom a slightly different accent than the daughter.
She really trained herself. Christy, I have given input to through Richard, the director, as consulting, but she is from, I believe, the South.
Both mom and daughter are from the South.
So they came in having prepared for a year. They knew they had these roles. And then what Allie, as the musical director, would do, and then myself as a dialect coach, would then offer suggestions about how to mold that. When you start from scratch with an actor, that's a very complicated process. And really, I would never recommend it when you have a 3-week rehearsal period. It's great that everyone came in so prepared. there.
That they have the sound in their ears.
Yes. Then you just help them tweak it as they go along.
Although, Clifton, there's always the danger that the sound they have in their ears is, say, Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
Right, right. That is true. Well, we did, as Elisa mentioned, we held auditions. I also do the casting at Theatrical Outfit. And we auditioned the show a year ago, literally April and May of 2015. And they certainly had to do scenes from the show, sing from the show in the auditions, and we knew going into casting who could handle what or who was already in the world. And I don't think we would have, even if someone had the vocals and they could sing the show beautifully, if they couldn't act it in a Southern accent as well and really give us the essence of that world and that character, I don't think they would have been a finalist.
You have to have it in your bones.
Right.
Really, to be authentic. That's why Olivia de Havilland bothers us so much. With Spacey, he's kind of making up that political sound.
Yeah, it's a completely fake accent.
Yeah, he's just making it up. And that's his choice for that role, as a politician might just make up a sound that was appealing, he thought, to, you know, his voters. But when you come into a piece, and that's our advantage of doing a Southern piece in the South, is the actors come in and it's already alive in their bodies, and then you just help them move forward.
And Broadway did the same thing. You know, Kelly O'Hara and Victoria Clark
cast
are Southern. So, you know, they didn't...
Well, that's one way to solve your problem.
Well, it's smart. You know, why give yourself extra hard right. work on a really hard show anyway?
And that's Clifton Gutterman. He's the Associate Artistic Director at Theatrical Outfit in Atlanta. And Lisa Carlson is a dialect coach and theater professor at the University of North Georgia. The musical The Light in the Piazza debuts this Thursday night at 7:30. It runs through May 15. Clifton and Elisa, thank you both so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Celeste.